Hello. Good morning. All right. So I'm going to be reading from the Old Testament lesson. So if you'd turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 26, we'll be reading from verses 16 through 19 this morning. All right. Starting verse 16. This day the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules and will obey his voice. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession as he has promised you and that you are to keep all his commandments and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he promised.
Thank you. Now, I will be in the New Testament passage for today, and that will be Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
And I want to thank Brother Kent for letting me preach today. And I'm always glad for little things that let me know that the Holy Spirit has been talking to me. And I didn't know that they were going to have this church roundup thing here in a few weeks. And I asked God, what do you want me to preach? And he had given me this some time back, and it was why the church. And so in our New Testament lesson, which my daughter Jamie read today, it's directed to the church at Ephesus. And the church at Ephesus was a very important church. In fact, most of us don't know this, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, and John, the apostle, went to church there. After the churches in Israel and Jerusalem were being oppressed and people putting into jail and being put to death, they moved. This is in Asia Minor, which is in modern-day Turkey today, and it's a church at Ephesus. Not only that, but the pastor was Timothy. And 1 and 2 Timothy were written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy on how to pastor the church there at Ephesus. It's a very important church and a very important writing that is with us through the Bible. And the book of Ephesus is so important. And here Paul talks about the church, the ecclesia. He compares Christ's relationship to the church as a relationship as the head to the body, as the builder and the building, the church, from the husband to the wife, the spouse, the bride. And so he uses all these different metaphors and similes and way to explain the relationship of Christ to the church. The word for church is the Greek word ekklesia. In fact, it sounds very close to the Hispanic word for church, ekklesia. And it's very close to the word paraclete in the Greek, which means the comforter. It means the advocate. So when you read in your, the book of John, and you read the book, and it talks about the Comforter, it's translated from the Greek word paraclete, which means with calling. And the Greek word for church is ekklesia, and it ekklesia, and it means the called. Very close together, the word. One's a person and one's an entity. But their function and our function is to be a comfort and give the call of God to this world. Ephesians 1:22 says, "And God placed all things under His, that's Christ's feet, and appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church." So the head, you know, our brain tells our body what to do and is the executive commands and reasoning, and that our body carries it out. That's the way the church is. The church is to carry out the thoughts and impulses and the will and to be the executive means where Christ works on this earth. And that Christ is the head of the church. And sometimes, and I've pastored before, and sometimes we pastors think we're the head, but it's actually Christ. Sometimes we have a nursery committee, and Miss Angenise thinks she's the head, but Christ is the head of the church, and it is to fulfill the desires, commands, and wishes of God on this earth. Christ is the good shepherd. The word Jehovah Ra is fulfilled through Christ the shepherd. He's the king, and he calls us out of the world. That's what the word church means. It means the called. God calls us out of this world to be his people, his kingdom, the apple of his eye, his possession, his people, his treasured possession. And as he promised, and we are to keep his commands as his treasured possession because we care what he cares about. We want to do what he wants us to do. And we're to be a people called out of the tyranny of sin and put under the righteous rule and the peaceful rule of Jesus Christ. The church is not merely a denomination. The church, the ecclesia, the called out, are people from various denominations who've heard the call, who have made Jesus their Lord. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And it's those who have heard the call, who've come to God the Father through the Son, who are the church. Now, if there's a denomination and it says we're the only way to heaven and we're the only true church, set themselves at odds and against the redemptive work of Jesus the Son, because only Jesus can save you. The church is to be the instrument of salvation. But in itself, we do not save. Only Christ saves. So any church that says, "Oh, you got to come to me and come to our building, you step in front of our building, you'll make it." Well, guess what? They have set themselves at odds with Jesus the Christ. And at the very one they say, and I say this because I had been involved in a church in college while I was at Texas Tech, while I was searching, in a church that was like that. And they told me nobody else was going to make it. And I was afraid. And I was afraid. I didn't really get fed there, so I didn't really like going there. But I was afraid if I didn't go in that building, I wasn't going to make it. And so finally, I had faith in Christ. Let me tell you something. It's not hard if somebody's telling you you're not going to make it, if they set in their building you're going to make it, to go. But it takes real faith, to say, "I trust in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He can do an invisible work in my heart and I can believe and trust and cling to and take confidence in Him and comfort in Him. And that is who the church is. It's people who've heard the comforting voice of Jesus, the Christ, the Shepherd, and follow Him out of different denominations throughout the world and through all kinds of people and become the church, the ecclesia. And that is something, like I said, I learned the hard way, but it came to me where I had a real faith in Christ, where I really did trust in Him. As John Wesley said, I really did believe in Him, and my heart became warmed, and I felt the gates of heaven open up. And that was when I really got saved, and I really got born again, was through the church. And some of us who've been saved, we read the Bible, we pray, we give to the church, but maybe we don't attend church. And how many times have we heard that? A lot. We hear people, well, I really don't have to go to church, and I really don't need to go. And you know what? And I've been sick the last few years, and I have to tell you, my participation with the church has decreased. And so I've had to really depend on Jesus, but it's not been a good thing, and it's nothing I enjoy, being away from the people of God. But people who do not participate and give themselves to the church don't understand the work of God in this world. They do not understand the personality and the person of the church and the purpose. And the purpose of the church is to, and this is for all of us here, is that we're the image of God on this earth. I want you to write it down. Image of God on this earth is the church. We are to represent. We are ambassadors. We are envoys. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. And we are to represent Christ and His kingdom and His message and what He wants on this earth. Ephesians 1:23 says, "The church, which is His body, is the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." The desire of God is that we fill everything in every way. We are to represent to this world the will of God. Don't listen to what the media says we're supposed to be. Don't listen to how the church is supposed to be heard. Listen to the Word of God. And listen to the Bible, who says what the church is to be. And the church is to express the light, the full expressed will of God to a dark, evil, lost world. You know, it used to be the church would speak on its positions, even when it wasn't asked. Now we keep silent, thinking that somehow approval by the world is some kind of goal to be obtained. We are at odds with the world. John says friendship with the world means to be enmity with God. Don't ask what the lost think we should do. The purpose of the church is to speak the will of God, to do the will of God on this earth. And if they want to know how it should be, they should be able to look at us and be able to say, you know, that's how we should do it. Make sure you're walking with God so they can do that. So they can look and say, well, you know, that's the way we should do it. So the purpose of the church is to be the image of God on this earth and to fill everything in every way. It used to be they would ask the church, what was their position? Used to people would sit on boards in education and in government, and they would give the will of God. This is what the scriptures say. And we have shirked from that. And we go and we lick our wounds and hide in our places. It is not the will of God. That is not the purpose of the church. Why the church? To express the image and the will of God to a dark world. That is your purpose here. One of the things, if I could have some baptism up on the board. The church is the invisible church, but it's also visible. And the fact is that when Christ does a work in your heart and your life, you follow Him through visible means, tangible means. The church is tangible. It's not some invisible mystery. It is tangible. And one of the tangible ways that it exists is through the sacraments. And the sacraments are baptism and Holy Communion. These are the two sacraments. They're also called ordinances. And when I want to make these words clear, because we throw them out and it's like, what are they talking about? Okay, the word ordinance means that Christ ordained that we should do this. In other words, it was in the will of God that we should baptize and we should take Holy Communion. And the other word is sacrament, which is tied to the sacrament of Christ, because Jesus died, went to the tomb, was raised up, which is shown in baptism, and then Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, is shown by the ratification of the New Testament by His blood and broken body. It's important. Now, one of the things is that I used to work at a hospital. I worked, can't count the years, 18 years at psychiatric hospitals, was a chaplain, counselor. I did all kinds of things, too. Took belongings. I did takedowns. I did all kinds of stuff. You name it, I did it. And one of the things I realized early on, and Elizabeth can help me out here too, is that we had to take belongings. And I had to take your shoelaces, your belt. I had to take any jewelry, any necklaces. And usually I didn't have problems with that until I got to one thing. I need your wedding ring. Let me tell you something. If you think that signs of the covenants are important, ask a woman and her wedding ring, and you will get resistance, ladies and gentlemen. You will get that. Well, the Lord's Supper and baptism is the wedding ring, and it's the visible signs of an inward relationship we have with Christ. Because we are the bride, the wedding ring is baptism and the Lord's Supper. It's the outward sign of an inward thing. Just like I have a wedding ring here, and it's got a Pathé cross, and it's got three rings. And the three rings represent the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It also represents that me and Jan are held together by God. And so these visible signs are very important, and we have reduced them to some kind of just token symbolism. They're important. And when you take communion today, it's important and to examine yourself. To see that we're in the faith and that we walk with God. And you know what? I started looking back at how God has blessed my life. And, the thing is, people are married in the church. They're buried in the church. Children are dedicated, baptized. They go through confirmation. Couples meet, get married. And I can tell you that personally, every good thing I have came through the church. Everything. I was saved in the church. I was baptized in the church. I took confirmation. I took communion in the church. And I want my family to stand. And I want Harry to stand too. And I'm explaining y'all something. My family and your friends, please stand. Okay. My mother got cancer. I was a missionary and a pastor in New Mexico at the Laguna Acoma Indian Reservation. And my mother got cancer, and I came home. And I went back. Where did I go? I went back to my home church. And I'd been gone a long time. I had been gone a long time. I lived in Lubbock, lived in New Mexico. I didn't live here for a long, long time. And so I went to this, of all things, the singles group. Okay. And guess who did I meet there? I met Jan. Well, guess who came with Jan? Jamie. Okay. So we get married. Time goes on and everything. And so I leave the United Methodist Church, which was, I was a pastor and had been for a long time, and we went to Wesley Bible Church, which Ned Chipley had started back there. Brother Ken was there, and I happened to meet a man back here named Harry Weaver. And Harry was working with some families, and the next thing I know, I'm a dad again with John, thanks to the help of Harry Weaver. And so the very good things I've ever had in my life is I know Jesus is Lord. I took communion. I was baptized. I found my wife. And my kids all came from church. Everything I have of any beauty came from the church. So people want to know why the church? I can't think of it without it. My life, I can't think of it at all. Not one thing that means anything that I find outside the church. And so why the church? Well, boy, I can tell you a thousand reasons why. Why the church? And I met them at the same church. I went through confirmation, the place where I learned Jesus was the Son of God, the Ten Commandments, the greatest commandment, the Beatitudes. Everything godly and good that ever happened to me through the church, through the serving hand of God. And if you examine yourself and your life, you can look back and see that the bride, the mother church, the blessings came from God the Father through the mother church to you. That's how important it is. You know, maybe your parents took you to church. Maybe your grandparents. Maybe your neighbors. And maybe you heard John 3:16 for the very first time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes that His trust clings to, believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you were like me, I was raised, I grew up here. I grew up in Mesquite. I'm a native boy here. And I grew up on Summit Street. And Summit Street, and I had some friends there, but also there were a lot of bullies. And man, let me tell you what. When I opened that front door and went outside my front house, I took my life in my own hands. And seriously, I was chased with a knife. I had two guys that lived down the street from me, and they made it a point to try to beat me up and demean me and to belittle me and to make my life just miserable. And one of the things that you do when you're targeted is you believe it. You're something wrong with you, and that's why you're a target. And John 3:16, and the people, and when I went to church and I learned about the love of God and with the Vacation Bible School, that all contrasted radically with what the world was telling me I was. John 3:16 said I was cherished and valued and that God loved me. And I learned about Joseph and the many dream coats. And I learned about Jonah. I learned about Jesus and the Beatitudes. And I learned all those things. And they contrasted. And I realized I was hungry for the comfort of God. And I enjoyed going to church because it got me out of getting beat up. I was cherished that God loved me. God loved other people. There were power beyond the bullies of my childhood. And that's what I started learning from early on. And it impacted me greatly on how I looked at other people, on how I looked at myself, how I looked at the church, that I really realized what was important and where the real power was. Peter says in Acts 2:38, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The church is where the word is proclaimed, and people can repent. They can turn from bullies to being believers and lovers. People can turn from self-destruction to life and goodness. And they can be baptized, placed into the body of Christ, and baptized into Christ. And Acts 2:41-42 says, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and were about 3,000 added that day." The church is a tangible entity where we have numbers, where people who've had received the message of Christ and believed on the goodness of God and through what he's done through Jesus Christ and is doing, and it's tangible. And you are the tangible portion of that here today. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to follow him in baptism. And what else do? They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles' teaching, what we would know, is the Bible. And for your New Testament to have a book in it, it has to have a few things. It has to be either been written by an apostle, such as Matthew and John, or it has to have been influenced by an apostle, such as the Gospel of Mark was influenced by Peter. The Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, that's why it's so big and broad, was influenced by a number of people. It was influenced by Mary, the mother of Jesus, was influenced by John, was influenced by Paul. If you've noticed, it's a very wide book, and that's because it had so many sources. Luke had so many sources available to him for the writing of it. The book of Revelation was written by John. So the apostles' teaching comes through your Bible. Now the exposition of the Bible, that is preaching and teaching, which that's what Brother Ken does, that's what I do, that's what Brother Harry does, what Brother Stan does. We expound, Brother Kenny expounds on the Word of God. In other words, we try to make it clear. Who in here has ever been involved in drafting? Anybody? Drafting, okay. Okay, do you know what an exploded view is? An exploded view is where they break down a design of something into exploded. It takes it something small, makes it big, where you can see it. That's what preaching does. That's what we're to do. We're to expound on the Word of God where we make it make sense. And, you know, and I'm very fortunate because I had my way paid to go to seminary and through the course of ministerial course of study. And do you know who paid for that? The church. The church paid for me to go. I have no student loan debts. And I'm very fortunate. The church, again, is at the root of something good. The church is tangible, and their number increased day by day. That those who've repented, confessed Jesus as Lord, they're baptized into Christ, have heard the call. They're the ecclesia. The church, the early church met in the synagogues. Can I have the Capernaum synagogue, please? Up here is a picture of what remains of the excavation of the synagogue at Capernaum. Can anybody tell me who preached at the synagogue at Capernaum? Jesus did. Jesus preached at the synagogue of Capernaum. And what happened was when Christianity first came out, and Peter and Paul, Thomas, the apostles went out and preached the word of God, guess where they went first? To the synagogues. And they preached there. And the early church started in the synagogues. And see, the one thing you have to remember was that Christianity in Christ was the fulfillment of the promises to the Jewish people. And so Paul said to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And that's exactly what he did. He went to the synagogues and preached, and that's where the early church started. Eventually, what happened was that the other people said, I'm not into this Jesus of Nazareth. And so they divided, and they were cast out of the synagogues. And they went into homes. Can I have the catacombs? The church went underground. And in Rome, where you know the book of Romans, Paul's Magna Carta of Salvation, if you've ever read the Romans Road of Salvation. And the word of God, the church, because it was people were being hunted and stuff, went underground into the catacombs under Rome and various places and met into the houses secretly to preach and hear the word of God and to fellowship. And it wasn't until 313 AD when Constantine, at the Edict of Milan, made Christianity legal. And after that point, church started being built above ground where people were safe enough to be able, can I have our church? So here we are today. Now, there are different places, though. And you go to Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, places where the church, these people are hunted. The Coptic Christians in Egypt, some of them don't dare go off the church because they're kidnapped and hunted down by terroristic Islam. And so there are certain churches where they don't have Bibles in print. They want to read the Bible, they read it online. Just a few years back, the last church building in Afghanistan was blown apart by terrorists. And there, if you want to have a Bible, you normally read it online. But it's where Christianity is legal, where it has the support of other churches and community, that you have the works of the church, such as Christian radio, TV, podcast, where the church thrives. There are printed Bibles. Where the church doesn't thrive, you don't have printed Bibles, but you can still read it online. Where the church thrives, you have church buildings, crosses, baptistries, communion tables, communion ware, banners, pyramids, Christian instruments. You have the word, spoken word, is who, heard through a sound system. The Bible goes on in the book of Acts and says in Acts 2:42, and this is part of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship of the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so you were called out today. You heard the voice of Jesus. You came with the other sheep into his pen and came here today, and you came to hear the apostles' teaching, the reading of the Word of God through Jamie and Michael. You were able to hear the exposition of Scripture, expound on those Scriptures through me today. And the fact is that's why we're here today. And we're here to take Holy Communion. And that is why the church. Amen. That is why the church. It's so important. And don't take it for granted. Be blessed by it. And do as much as you can. Some of my happiest times with this church were when I worked with the kids. And I remember one time, one of my favorite memories is, of course, with the other kids. And these kids are all grown now. Alexa, Krista, Nicole. And we played a little song called "This Church, This Train is Bound for Glory." We had a little bitty little things that we banged together and sang, "This church is bound for glory, this train." And just little things like that have come to, and everything, for I'm just going to, it personally is so meaningful to me through the church. And I hope that you can value the bride of Christ too, as you value God the Father and Jesus the Son. And thank you for letting me speak today.